Well, there is nothing better that warms your soul, well, and your stomach on a cold winter day than a hearty stew. Everyone is welcome to the table at Jermaine's Kitchen and Cafe, and today, Chef John is joining the Morning Blend to give you the best recipe for a hearty stew, perfect for this time of year. Chef John is the head chef at Catholic Charities of Oregon, Jermaine's Kitchen and Cafe, and he's joining us today. Well, good morning, Chef John. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
So we are tasting right now a wonderful stew. So for our listeners, kind of explain to us the difference between stew and soup.
Usually I would have to say that stew is usually always pretty darn thick, but also it has a lot more ingredients, or just amount of ingredient as a ratio to liquid. So it's a very hearty thing, and every spoonful, you're going to get a little bit of a lot of different things.
Yeah. I can't help but look at stews especially and think of peasant food. I mean, you think about how you can get a little bit of chicken to feed a lot of people, or a few vegetables and put it all together. It's a perfect meal, especially for a big family, I would imagine.
It really is, and it's sort of one of our go-to things when we have to feed a lot of people out on the streets that are food insecure. So we do a lot of different types of stews and cacciatores and things like that, where you're making just a really nice, beautiful, thickened sauce, a lot of different vegetables in with it, and then protein as well.
I'm wondering, Chef John, with a stew compared to a soup, I mean, the way you explained it, I'm a stew guy because I just love that thickness and the heartiness of a stew versus soup. Not that I dislike soup, but there's just something about stew. And I think because of what you said, it's the ingredients that go into it. I love cooked carrots. Now, a lot of people might say, I'm not a big carrot fan. But to me, if you do a stew and there's no carrots in it, that's not a stew to me. I have to have the carrots.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at that. So sort of categorically, soups, stews, and chowders really come in together. So if you think of like a clam chowder and a stew similar to what we're having, again, the chowder is really pretty thick, has a lot of things going on in it. And same like with this, but again, they're just a little bit different, and it's a little bit of a fine line in some semantics.
Yeah, so with the stew, I mean, is the carrot, does that have to be in it? I mean, is that when you think of stew, do you think of a carrot, or what ingredients do you think of when you think of a stew?
Honestly, I would say a potato is probably one of the ones that I think of,
right,
that should be there in a stew. The other one is actually a group, and it's in the kitchen, we call it mirepoix. And so that's carrots, onions, and celery.
Mm.
And so I really think of all of those going in there, along with potatoes and whatever the protein is, its respective stock. So beef or chicken or whatever it may be.
Right. So will you cook the different elements at different times while you're making the stew, or is everything just thrown in all together?
No, it's actually cooked at different times. So in this one in particular, the chicken was seasoned and then seared to where it browns and caramelizes on the outside. And then it's actually removed from the pan.
Mm.
And then we add in the mirepoix, so the carrots, onions, and celery, sauteed all that together, again, until some of the onions become translucent. Then I added the sweet potatoes and the red potatoes, and then the chicken went back in, got that all coated, added a little bit of flour to create a roux, and once that cooked for, 3 to 5 minutes, then I'm going to add my stock to it and my herbs and spices, let that come up to a boil, reduce it to a simmer, and then we're ready to go. And then it's, sort of, again, like I say earlier, under the umbrella of set it and forget it, and just let it be on a really low simmer with a lid.
Chef John is the head chef at Jermaine's Kitchen and Cafe, and he's joining us today talking about a wonderfully hearty stew that you can make today. Chef John, when you're working with your students at Jermaine's Kitchen, when you're getting ready to make something that has a lot of ingredients, now, are you training them to get everything out, everything chopped and prepped and lined up and ready to go? Or can they start with, say, getting the chicken going, and while that's cooking, then you want to cut up everything else? What's the best way, as far as process, to get it all to come together?
So for us, it's a term we call mise en place, and it's culinary organization. And it's really, the first step is the sort of caveman thing of hunting and gathering. I have them go around, grab all the chicken, grab all their vegetables, grab all their herbs and spices, and get it all in one spot. And then it's, we're going to have a separate cutting board for the chicken. We're going to cut all that up, and then it's set off to the side. And then we could actually probably get that going while we're chopping up the other vegetables. Most of the time, it's let's get everything cut, and then we can just put in one thing, then the next, then the next, and then the next. And you're ready to go. Everything's measured out, scaled out, and you can put it all together.
So with the chicken, mm-hmm. are you going with dark meat or white meat or both, or does it matter?
I am just for chicken, I'm a thigh meat fan.
Oh, okay.
I really love the moisture that it does. It's very forgiving, and it works well in long cooking things. It has more fat. And one of the things I do teach is fat is flavor.
Mm.
And it really equates to that. So that's why I believe that a piece of chicken thigh meat tastes better than a piece of chicken breast meat.
Nice.
Fantastic. And then as far as cooking something at home, is there, I don't know, an ideal size or type of pot that people should be using to make sure that things come out very evenly, that they don't burn on the bottom? I mean, what are some of the tips to getting a great stew at home?
Right. So I think sort of a stock pot can be used for once you're doing a lot of the work. So you can saute your chicken, and like I talked about, you take it out. And then I would put that into the stock pot. And then in that same saute pan, I would then add my mirepoix. And then, you know, start building things in my saute pan and then put it into the stew pot or soup pot and then let it go there. And then I can add my stock because it'll hold a lot more liquid. So a really nice, I don't know, maybe a 4-quart, 6-quart stock pot would be perfect depending on how big your family is.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, if we haven't gotten our listeners hungry enough just thinking about this, well, we're going to have to make them wait just a little bit longer. Chef John, I am coming up against our break. Will you stay with us through the break so we can continue our conversation and find out exactly how you made this fabulous stew?
You betcha. I'll be here.
I am continuing my conversation with the head chef at Germaine's Kitchen Inn Cafe, Chef John. Chef John is joining us today because he has got the perfect recipe for a hearty chicken stew for a cold winter day like today. Chef John, thank you so much for staying with us through the break.
Absolutely. Thanks for keeping me along.
All right. So people are ready to get to their store. They've got their pen in hand ready for this ingredient list. Tell us what you put in and what was the order that these things went into your pot.
So one of the things that, you know, I do, and you'll see the recipe, it'll come up on the website, is the way a recipe is written, as far as the ingredients go, should be the order that they go in to your pot. So here, chicken is just going to be the first thing on the ingredient list, followed by carrots, onions, and celery. Those could be in whichever order you wanted, because they're actually going to go in a group.
Okay.
Followed by sweet potatoes and red potatoes, flour, and letting that saute, and then some mushrooms will go in. So those are all going to get cooked together for a while. Let the onions sweat a little bit and become translucent. Let the roux develop. Mushrooms will soften. They'll also release some liquid, which will be great for starting the soup base. And then we're going to add our chicken stock to that. So we need to add our chicken stock in two parts. So we're going to add half of it, and we're going to whisk it in to make sure that we don't have any lumps. So it'll seem like it's like, oh, my goodness, this is too thick. It is, to start okay. with. But then you're going to add some more. You'll add the rest of the stock in there, and then it'll balance out. But again, if you just try to dump it all in at once, a lot of times you end up with little roux balls that just don't ever break down. So that's a great way to start.
What's interesting to me is, and I did not realize this in the making of the stew, of adding the flour. I wouldn't have thought of that without the recipe, of course. I just would have thought, oh, you've got your stock and everything cooks in it.
Right. But again, I think there's a way you need to make it, you know, become thick.
Right.
A lot of times you could toss your chicken in a seasoned flour or your meat, whatever kind of stew you're making. You can do that into a seasoned flour. And then as you sear it, some of it releases into the pan and will allow you to thicken from there. Some of it, as you add it back after you've browned it, again, it will release some of the flour and allow you to thicken. I'm just a fan of creating my own roux, and it allows me to know, because there's a certain ratio of amount of roux to liquid to where you will come out with the perfect consistency always.
Mm. Chef John, you love to cook for people who have gluten issues, and you cook no gluten. So you're talking about flour. Can you make this a low gluten, say with one of those low gluten type of flours? Does it come out the same?
This one you're eating right now is 100% gluten free.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
And it works the same way. You just can
correct.
Mix it up.
Yes. Oh. So this is a Bob's Red Mill all purpose, quote unquote, flour, mm-hmm. Made from just different types of grains.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Well, right along with this wonderful stew, you've made bread. Now, I see you took your bread, you threw it right in there with your stew and mushed it all up.
Yeah.
How did you make these biscuits?
So these are great. I mean, there's something that goes with most of our meals. This one is a scallion biscuit. So I actually chopped up some green onions and folded it into the batter when it was mixing. But again, it's a amount of gluten-free, all-purpose flour and some xanthan gum, baking soda, baking powder, and then I just grate the butter on a cheese grater to make it so it stays in little pieces. And that's when the scallions went in, a little bit of milk, and we're ready to go.
Man, that is awesome. I love it. And again, all gluten-free.
100%.
You taste these biscuits and, you know, you'd never know. Nobody, you know, you wouldn't have to tell anybody these are gluten-free biscuits.
Yeah, I mean, they're like dangerous right out of the oven. They are so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just really love them. They actually reheat, probably one of the only bread items that reheat pretty well in a microwave and just soften really nicely.
Mm.
But anyway, they're great. Whether you want to dip it, eat it on its own, smother it with butter, or I don't know. I just love to crumble them over the top of the stew and eat them with it, and it just soaks it up.
Every which way I can eat one of these biscuits is my favorite way. Chef John is the head chef at Jermaine's Kitchen in the Cafe joining us today. Well, we are thoroughly full and happy, and our souls are filled. So thank you so much. Before you go, though, Chef, kind of give us an update on how things are going at the kitchen. You have a new class starting up and one getting close to graduation.
Yeah, so it's been great. The second cohort has done incredibly, incredibly well. Learned a lot, grew a ton. They are going to graduate here on the 25th of February, so that's awesome. As you've heard before, we have an overlap, so the next class actually starts a week from today on the 31st, and we actually have our first completely full class, which is 6 students, but that's a lot for us, and incredibly, incredibly excited, and we've just seen so much great response from it. I even have a wait list that will be starting for our fall class.
Already fall kids are lining up.
Yes.
Young people are lining up. And Chef, you've had some success too with your first cohort. You've got one of your students. Well, he's working as a chef now.
Yes, and we're lucky he got a job at a local retirement community and just really enjoys his work so, so much. And it's just really, really nice to see that full circle from training to education and working and then getting out there and having a job and becoming, you know, secure with that.
Oh, well, what a wonderful program. So successful. And gosh, just many prayers for all of your students as they continue to go on and for the people that they will one day serve. Chef John, we sure appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for having me, Brenda.
And again, that is Chef John Wirtis from Jermaine's Kitchen and Cafe. If you want to see some pictures and get the full recipe, well, there's one way to do that. You've got to either download the Hail Mary Media app. You can find out all the information under the bridge, or go to our webpage and you can find the link to all of that information about the stew on the podcast of this interview, materdayradio.com.